Again, if you'll turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we continue talking about the things in here. A lot of what we have looked at in this passage has been for us and our benefit and our understanding of God. And we're going to get pretty soon into an explanation why that some don't understand, why some don't get it. And that is, they don't get God. They just don't understand Him. They can't comprehend what He's doing and who He is and why He does things that He does. When I first became pastor of this church back in 2004, I had talked to Charles Hammond, pastor at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Huntsville, Alabama, who was an uncle-in-law of mine. And I talked to him because Charles was one of the most Sovereign Grace people I knew on this earth, more than Hearts. It was more Sovereign Grace than Hearts. Hearts was strong, but Charles Hammond lived it. He lived off of Sovereign Grace. Everything to him was Sovereign Grace. And I understand. I understand now. So I called him, because I knew this church was great Sovereign Grace. And I asked him, "Brother, can I preach too much Sovereign Grace?" He said, "No." He said, "You will never preach enough Sovereign Grace." He said, "You will never teach enough about the sovereignty of God." And I understood some of it, but I've learned over the years I've been here and been pastor this church what he meant. I understand now more clearly than ever about what he understood and what he meant when he told me these things. When we look at sovereignty, and that is the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God and sovereign grace are two different things. The sovereignty of God is God. That's who God is. God is sovereign. God is sovereign in everything. That means he acts purely independent, does as he pleases, as he chooses, and whatever he pleases, whatever he chooses. He never counseled with no one. Nothing existed but him at one time. And known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. Sovereign grace is the grace that he has on us, is his sovereign grace. And once you start understanding how sovereign God is, you understand more about what it is that he does in our life and how much effect he had in our life. I want to read you a scripture. I believe it's in Psalm 27. I'm turning over it now. I believe it's going to be Psalm 27. Let me go over and make sure. If you go into my house, you'll see a picture with a rabbit that's hand-painted. Actually, it's done with chalk. Dina did that. Horace was good at art. And Dina got his gift of being able to draw. And she does it with coloring pencil. Not crayon, but you know what I'm talking about, coloring pencil. And she did that for her mama. When her mama passed, I didn't give it back to her. It's one thing I told her she couldn't have back, because I love it. And I said, "When I pass, you can come and get it." I thought several times about giving it back to her, but she don't act like she really wants it back, so she wants me to have it, I think, so that's good. And she put this scripture in there, in Psalm 27:1. "Since the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" If you can understand that scripture, you understand the law. A lot of people say, yeah, I get it. No, you don't get it. You have to understand that God is everything to us. And as long as he is, as long as his sovereign sovereign power is able to take care of us, protect us, do for us, supply our needs, and to keep us safe, we have nothing to be afraid of. We have nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing. Let's go to our text over in 1 Corinthians. Justin got us started a little early, so I wanted to get us out a little bit earlier tonight. Not a lot there. I'm not going to do you too big a favor, get you out too early, but we're going to take our time here. But if you go to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 9 and 10, look at verse 9 again. We had that last Sunday, last Wednesday night, but look at it closer again. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Think about that. Carry that in your mind as we go throughout this message tonight, that you have never seen, heard, or even thought of the things that God hath prepared for us. It's just like Romans 8:28. For all things work together for the good to them that love God, who is called from the purpose. That means everything. It don't matter if the roof falls in on your head, it's good for you. There's something good for you in it. God has a purpose for everything in your life. God has, before the foundation of the world, chosen you to be his child. And as his child, it comes with many benefits. Many benefits. And every benefit it has, his sovereign hand has brought it about. The Lord has saved your soul. He's walked through your life with you. He's supplied your needs throughout life. He's given you salvation. He's given you a church membership. He's given you the ability to learn and understand his word, to know things that most Christians in this world don't even have an idea of what's going on about. And the stronger the sovereignty of God is in your heart, the more blessed you will feel every moment of your life. Just like the scripture we just read. If God is for us, who can be against us? Basically. That's another scripture, but basically. If God is our strength, God is our caretaker, if God is our supplier, and he is sovereign as he is, what could we possibly fear in this life? So the things that God has prepared for us, we couldn't even think of them. I've said many times, count too many blessings. We can't. But we don't know the blessings in each day that God gives us. We don't know the things every day that God just does for us. It just passes us right by. Now go to verse 10. This is where we got to. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What did God reveal to us? The gifts of his sovereignty that he had prepared for us. In verse 9. And those things are, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have even entered into the hearts of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Until God reveals them to us, we will never know it. We will never understand what God does for us every day until we see it. We cannot see the hand of God. We cannot see the things God's doing for us day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour, second by second. We can't see it until God reveals it to us. also the things in his word. The word of God is a mystery. People, it's not a book. People call the Bible a book. This is not a book. That's a Bible. That's the word of God. Huckleberry Finn is a book. The Baptist Bride back there on our shelf by Oscar Meade is a book. Anything else written is a book. This is a book. It's a song book. This right here is a book of laws that's not a book. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, it's the law of God. It's also the explanation of God of what's going on with us, what's happening to us, how he's conquering it, how he's doing it. Go to Matthew 11. I'm sorry, go to Matthew 13. So, we come to this point. But God had revealed them to us. How? By his Spirit. We may not understand them. We may not have seen them. We may not have heard them. It may not even enter into our heart. But God will reveal them to us if he chooses. And he will do it by his Spirit. Not by our study and not by our learning, but by the Holy Spirit that gives it to us. Mysteries of God are no longer mysteries once God revealed them to his elect hearers. God is selective. God is selective to whom he allows to understand his mysteries. You want to know why people don't understand salvation? It's because the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed it to them. If you want to understand why people don't understand this doctrine or that doctrine, or even the doctrine of sovereign God, or any of the attributes, it's because God hasn't revealed it to them. So, if God has revealed it to us, what does that make us? Blessed. Blessed beyond even our thought. The Lord can do exceedingly abundantly above us all that we ask or think, can he? Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, he said, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, on that side of giving or not giving, would you want to be on? Well, you want to be on the side he gives to, don't you? You are. I guarantee you, you will not walk into a church more educated than this one. I don't care what church it is. Just name it. They may be as educated, but they are not more educated. You all have been taught these things for decades. I didn't bring them. They were here when I came here. You were taught them before. And your former pastors didn't teach them to you. God taught them to you through your pastor. My job is to keep teaching that the Holy Spirit may use that to strengthen you even more. Isn't that beautiful? But the Lord said it's given unto them to know these things, but not others. But he just told us That's a message of God that God has revealed unto us by His Spirit. You didn't learn them. You ain't a harder worker than others. You're not more spiritual than others. God has made you what you are. If you're more spiritual, you're more spiritual because God made you more spiritual. If you're more knowledgeable, you're more knowledgeable because God made you more knowledgeable. If you're more than anybody else, it's because God made you that. Don't forget that, because if you do, you're going to take some credit for it, and anytime you take credit, you're not giving God credit. From A to Z and before and beyond, you give God credit for everything. God didn't have to show you nothing. He didn't have to teach you anything. But He did. You know how many believe and understand that? Very few in this world. You are a limited number of people that God has chosen show it to. Feel blessed. You are. Now go to Matthew chapter 11. Go to chapter back. Here we find Jesus' model prayer. No, this is not the Lord's Prayer. More of the Lord's Prayer, as we consider the Lord's Prayer, is in John 17. This is a model prayer because Jesus asked God to forgive us our debts, and He had none to forgive. Well, it couldn't have been a prayer. But Jesus teaches us to pray here. I'm not criticizing it. It's a model prayer, isn't it? But look at verse 25 and 26. He says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and how we build them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. What did God just tell us? He just told us how blessed we are again, didn't He? Jesus just told us in His model prayer how blessed again we are. Because He says here that God gave it to you and hid it from those brilliant people, the wise and prudent. God only reveals as He chooses. Everyone is not obligated to hear or to understand anything about God's Word, His Word, His mysteries, and anything else God can't be alone. Eye hasn't seen it, ear hasn't heard it, the heart never comprehended it. Only God blesses people with His grace as He sovereignly chooses to reveal it to us. If He don't want you to know it, He will hide it from you. Everything's hid, isn't it? Until God revealed it to us. And He owes no man, no person, an obligation to reveal anything to them. He owes it to no one to save their soul. He owes it to no one to give them one bit of grace, or mercy, or any love. He proved that in the flood, did He not? He had grace on mercy because Noah was under the mercy of God. And Noah was a good servant of the Lord. And because of that, God blessed Noah's family too, didn't He? By allowing them on the ark. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Second time, I didn't go back and read it all. You go back if you want to. But what was revealed to Simon Barjona here, we all know what it is, God has revealed it to him. No flesh, I can't reveal anything to you. People hate me because of what I believe. They don't like me because of what I teach. They can't stand me because of what I write on Facebook or anywhere else. I don't care. I can't change them. Not one single solitary person on earth will ever change their mind about anything of God because I teach it. I write things so people can enjoy it who understand it. Not trying to teach people stuff. My job is to feed the sheep here. If you're going to learn, it will be because God teaches you. Look at Colossians 1, if you will. Paul writing here to the church at Colossae in Colossians 1, verse 25 through 27. He says, Wherefore I was made a minister according to the disposition of God, which is given to me for you. To fulfill the word of God. Even the mysteries which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, listen to whom God would have made known what is the riches of his glory, of his this mystery unto the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did the Jews know this? The Old Testament? No. Gentiles were dirt. The rest of the world was nothing but sleaze to them. They could not stand Gentiles. We were the worst of the worst of the world because everybody, not a Jew, was a Gentile. But the mystery. God had others outside of that fold, and you know what? John 10, he brought them in. And when he brought them in, what did he say? He said, they will become one in this fold. Come together. John 16. Things are mysteries until God reveals them. You didn't know you were going to be saved until God saved you. You don't know if your children were going to be saved. I hear people ask me at times, preacher, pastor, to pray for my children. They're not saved. Don't ever take for granted God's going to save your children or your family. Or you're anybody else. Don't take it for granted. There's a lot of preacher's kids, a lot of church-raised children that grow up in this world and never become children of God. We do not know that. No one ever knows if their children's going to be saved until they are saved. I'm blessed. My two daughters and my three grandsons all profess to be saved. Great-grandchildren do not. We don't know, do we? Does it concern us? It should. They're our family. So we pray for it, but we don't know who's the elect of God, who isn't. John 16. Now, let's get into not that God reveals his mysteries to whom he wants to. And this has been proven over and over and over in Scripture. In fact, I just proved it several different ways, and I could have proved it 100 different ways. These things are easy to teach. They're all in the Bible, all over the Bible. But how does God do it? He said by the power of the Spirit, didn't he? That's where our text scripture said, wasn't it? By the power of the Spirit. Well, look at John 16, verse 13 through 15. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. You see that? Now, how much truth is he guiding you in? All truth. All truth. So how much more truth do you need to be guided in? None. If you're going to believe any truth of God, any truth of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you in it. I'm not going to guide you in it. No other teacher's going to guide you in it. No other preacher's going to guide you in it. The Holy Spirit must guide you in it. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever shall hear, that shall he speak. Whosoever hears. Not everybody's going to hear, is it? We just saw several passages where Jesus said God chooses who will hear and who doesn't hear. Did we not? But for us that do hear, thank you, Lord, that shall he speak to you. Now, he could use a preacher or several preachers to speak to you. That's what we do. We speak the Word of God. We preach God's messages. But the only way you're going to understand and hear what we're preaching is if the Holy Spirit teaches them to you. I can't make you understand anything. I can't convince you of it. I can't say it enough times to convince you of it. If God doesn't teach it to you, you'll never learn it. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, says Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, Jesus said. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. He will. Now, he could use a tract. He could use the simplicity of the word itself. He could use a preacher. There's a many ways the Lord can teach you. But God has to do it. I cannot. You see now why I back off here lately and said, I don't care what people think. I can't change their minds. I do. I mean, I want them to believe, but I can't turn around and worry about what they believe and don't believe. 1 Corinthians 12. We have a couple more scriptures. We're going to end these two scriptures and then pick up with our next point next week. I was hoping to get into it a little bit, but I want to get you out just a little bit early. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, listen to all these scriptures, folks. Pay attention to them. All of them are very beneficial to all of us. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecies, to another discerning of the Spirit, to another divers miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Listen, but all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. It don't matter once you know and understand. It don't matter who you are, what you are in the Lord. It doesn't matter what you know or do not know. It does not matter anything, because everything God has given. He gave you salvation. He gave you grace. He gave you love. He gave you a church to worship in. He keeps it going. He gave you a life. He gives you things in life you can do and accomplish. He takes care of you every day, all night, every night. Nothing can come to us unless God allows it to be here. Every bit of knowledge and understanding you have is a gift of God. And the Holy Spirit has given it all. Everything in your life God's given it. You might not even like it. I mean, we really don't like persecutions and trials and tribulations when they come our way, do we? But didn't the Lord say they teach us? He did, didn't he? He said they teach us. They give us patience and experience. What about rebuke and chastisement of the Lord? We don't like them either when they come, do we? No child likes discipline, do they? But isn't discipline good? We see what an undisciplined world does. So, I mean, just look outside. That's an undisciplined world. I mean, people going into stores and just picking up handfuls of stuff, bags of food, boxes of stuff, and just walking out the door. That's not discipline, is it? Things going on in this world are not discipline. But a child properly, Lord says to spare a rod for the child. Does time out work? I don't know. I never got time out. I got it with me. Apparently it worked. Lord got me here, didn't he? Lord got me here tonight, didn't he? Lord did it. I didn't do it. The problem is, sometimes we fail to see these things. We don't understand when Lord says all things work together for our good. Because we don't see everything working together for good, do we? Until the Lord shows how it worked out. When the Lord reveals the results to us, then we say, oh, yes, Lord, I see. Now I see. I didn't see before, but I do now. All right, let's go to our next scripture. Romans 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. And this scripture will propel us into verse 11 in our text, which I'll read before I leave tonight. He says in verse 33, O depth of riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him? And it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. How many things? All things. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. For who be glory forever and ever. So, verse 10 of our text, I'll end with this. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 2 tells us, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Verse 10, 11 tells us, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows them and reveals them. Known unto the Spirit of God are all things, yea, the deep things of God, because he is God. He's not part of God. He's not a section of God. He is God. Just as much as the Father is God, just as much as the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is also God. They all three know everything the same. So next week, we're going to look at the things of God knoweth no man. You hear? How many things of God do people know? None. There was a time in your life, I know you're all smart. I'm not being smart when I say that. You are. But there was a time in your life, just like there's a time in my life, and I did not know any of this. When I first met Horace Hammond back in 1982, I had no idea what the sovereignty of God was. None. Not a bit. He taught some of this stuff, and I just sat down and listened. I didn't get it. He asked me one time what predestination was. This was after I was called to preach. He said, I'm going to ask you something. What's predestination? Well, I've got like a, 11th grade education. I deserved a 5th grade education. You know what I mean? I mean, I wasn't smart at all. Still ain't. I said, well, I don't know. I just found out what it was because he just sat there and explained it to me. And the Holy Spirit showed it to me. I didn't get it. I didn't understand a lot of it. Took a lot of years. When I came here in 04, there's so much I did not know. I thought I was pretty smart on the Bible. So I tried to start preaching it. We learned just how stupid we are when God really started showing us the truth. Just like people with PhDs, smart as we're. Smart as they come, probably had a 4.0 grade average. I guess that's the highest one you get. Whatever the highest, they probably had it. And can't understand anything just like the Jewish leaders. Were these people dummies? No. They were brilliant people in the Old Testament times, in the Old Testament law. They did not know Jesus Christ. Had they known him, they would not have crucified him. They did not know, did they? Everybody have a blessed week. We'll get back on this next Wednesday night, and we'll study.